Special guest with us. She's a former writer and contributor for Mint Press News, as well as the new writer and researcher for The Last American Vagabond. She's here today to talk about her new piece that was released just moments ago. It's called Techno-Tyranny, How the U.S. National Security State is Using Coronavirus to Fulfill an Orwellian Vision. Please welcome Whitney Webb. Hi, Whitney. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. It's great to be here.
Well, I just wanted to show you this. You can see the screen. It says, so this is a fresh headline. It says from the L.A. Times, less than half of L.A. County residents still have jobs.
Wow.
Do you hear that stat, Steph?
God.
Less than half of L.A. County residents still have jobs. So this is worse than depression. The depression, the unemployment, that's just crazy. This sounds like it's worse than the depression. And so it's I'm glad that you're on the show today, Whitney, because you just wrote this article, and let me just show the tweets that you made, and then we'll get to you so you can walk us through this. You tweeted out, last May, a government organization outlined an extremely Orwellian vision for what the United States must do to win the quote-unquote tech war against China in artificial intelligence. It essentially called to remake the entire American economy and society. Now, thanks to COVID-19, their vision is taking shape. So tell me about that. What is this government agency? How did you find out about this? And how do they want to remake the country?
Well, the agency is called the National Security Commission on Artificial Intelligence. It's chaired by Eric Schmidt, the former head of Google's parent company,
really?
Alphabet. And
really?
Yeah. Okay. And the vice chair is the former deputy secretary of defense. He currently works at Center for a New American Security, which is a think tank that's led by John McCain's former foreign policy advisor and Joe Biden's former national security advisor. So it's a great crowd. Beyond those two guys, it's also full of NQTELs. The first CEO of NQTEL, which is the CIA's venture capital arm, as well as the current CEO of NQTEL, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, pretty much all of Silicon Valley, Oracle as well. It's in a bunch of people that also used to be on the Pentagon. It's basically the military, the intelligence community, and Silicon Valley all coming together, creating this roadmap for what the U.S. needs to do in order to avoid losing what it says is its technological advantage over China and artificial intelligence. And they refer to this, that they call this the fourth industrial revolution that artificial intelligence is going to create. They created this roadmap. It's in a presentation that was created last May. And it was recently obtained by a Freedom of Information Act request by EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center.
What is it called again?
The group that did the Freedom of Information Act request.
What was the report called?
There was a batch of documents in this Freedom of Information Act request. So the document that I'm talking about is called Chinese Tech Landscape Overview. And what they do there is they talk about where China has advantage and how the U.S. can overcome that advantage. And they basically say that the U.S. right now still is leading in the creation stage of these AI technologies, but it's lagging behind China in the adoption stage. And if we don't come up, meet China in the adoption stage, then we will lag behind, and then China will dominate AI for the rest of our lifetimes. That's what it says. So that means that China will export AI around the world and the U.S. will not. So not only will Silicon Valley's bottom lines be hurt forever, but then the Pentagon and the CIA lose their technology advantage over China. And they're like, they've been freaking out about this for years. The military and the intelligence community made a joint center to address this issue specifically about China and AI a couple of years ago. And now this committee was created by one of the last NDAAs to address it even further. I mean, they are freaking out that China may overtake us in AI. And anyway, a lot of the stuff they lay out that needs to be done is happening right now, thanks to the current pandemic crisis.
So,
and it's very disturbing. Especially, oh, sorry.
So you're saying that there's a government agency that before this pandemic even happened already had a plan in how to reshape our economy to fight China through because of the threat of artificial intelligence? That's what you're telling me?
Well, the threat, from their perspective, the threat is that China will dominate the artificial intelligence market, and that their ability to develop that technology will give them an edge over China in the areas of national defense and security and also industry.
And so how will they, so how would they reshape our economy to do this?
Okay, so what they identify as these obstacles, they say they're structural obstacles in American society and the economy. They say that the reason that the U.S. lags behind China is because of several things. They say that in China, there's a lack of what they call legacy systems that exist in the United States. And those legacy systems, I honestly found really creepy. They include things like individual car ownership, being able to see a doctor in person, like a human doctor in person, and a whole bunch of other things. It's a privacy laws, basically, FDA approval.
What are they doing with private doctor visits, and what are you saying is happening?
Okay, so with private doctor visits, they say that in China, there is not enough doctors for the entire population, and that is causing China to adopt AI medicine platforms faster than the U.S., right? And so they call that, in the U.S., the fact that there's enough human doctors per the population, they call that a legacy system, and they say that has to change.
Oh.
This is last May.
This is what our governmental agency is saying, that we need to change the way we deliver medicine?
They're saying that we need to adopt AI for pretty much every sector in the economy, and that medicine and healthcare is one of them. And this was even before any of this stuff with coronavirus happened, where we've seen this explosion in telemedicine and AI medical analysis software and all of this stuff. They were promoting this then, and they were saying that a lot of these changes they were asking for would be unfathomable in the West. This is last May. And remember, this isn't just any government agency. This is the intelligence community, the military, and Silicon Valley, all of whom are fundamentally untrustworthy actors if you look at their history, you know. So it's worth taking all of that into consideration as well.
Okay. This is a lot to grasp, for me, anyway.
Yeah, it's wild. Honestly, I think it's really scandalous because not only, you know, I think one of the main reasons why we're seeing so much of this happen now is that there is a huge amount of overlap on this National Security Commission and Trump's new economic revival task force and a lot of the CEOs advising him. All of the Silicon Valley companies on this National Security Commission are on Trump's economic revival committee. And, you know, the Trump administration also developed this artificial intelligence policy over the past couple of years that talks directly about closing this technology gap with China. And they have an AI plan for the American worker and for American industry that has gotten very little media scrutiny. And, you know, this is the commission that is going to set the recommendations, the official recommendations for how the U.S. government does that. And this is what they're saying. So, and they aren't saying this in public. This was obtained by a Freedom of Information Act request.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This sounds like the United States, I don't know, business leaders or whatever, are trying to figure out a way to compete with China. And they're doing it, ironically, in a kind of a centralized economy sort of way, right? Where in China, the government decides what's to be produced and things like that. And so here in the United States, it seems like they're trying to do the same thing where, like, hey, we need to plan as a country for how we compete with China in AI. We need to plan as a country. We can't just let it up to individual corporations because they'll probably just sell us out to China anyway. Am I close on this?
I'm not entirely sure that's the case. I think it's more of removing these obstacles, finding some sort of event that allows these structural changes to take place, right? I mean, remember, this is from May 2019, so this is like a roadmap,
right?
Essentially, what they lay out for what we have to do to close that gap, right? In terms of what they're doing now, there's a lot of overlap, but I honestly think, you know, this type of solution to coronavirus that they're promoting here, I don't really think it's about fighting the pandemic. I think it's about control, and I say this because And if you follow my thread up on Twitter there, there's an article that points to this. A lot of these programs that are being promoted, including mass surveillance, for example, which is one of the things promoted in this document by this commission, in order to increase our capacity to be better at AI or whatever. So basically coronavirus, with coronavirus, these mass surveillance solutions have been shown to actually hinder coronavirus response. And the first country that implemented these mass surveillance solutions, which was Israel, and Israeli doctors basically asked Shin Bet, which is like Israel's FBI, to stop doing it because it was hindering response, right? So this is a solution they've had in the planning phase for a year, and now they're implementing it now. And actually last fall, they were promoting it as a way to stop mass shootings, a lot of these solutions as well, right? So it seems to me that they're basically, they have something they want to implement, they have something they want to do, and then they're moving the justification from whatever Americans are most afraid of at the time. So last fall it was mass shootings, and now it's coronavirus.
So you're saying they have these plans, these economic plans to institute in our economy, and they have to do with AI, artificial intelligence. And you're saying that they're just using whatever crisis is at hand to implement those things, right? That's what you're saying?
Right, yeah. And yes. I mean, this is something that even people in U.S. government have openly admitted at times, like Rahm Emanuel, who was Obama's former chief of staff. He said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And this is something the U.S. government has done on numerous occasions, including 9/11, for example, where we were told the Patriot Act would make us safer. But the Patriot Act is still here, but we're supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria and Yemen. Right.
So
I argue this is the same.
And so there's the first part where they're going to try to implement AI into our economy. The second part is there's some mass surveillance that they're going to use Silicon Valley for. In fact, here's the tweet. You tweeted out an article that says Israeli doctors warn Shin Bet surveillance actually hindering efforts against the coronavirus. And you say some people may say that these surveillance systems are necessary to combat the pandemic. If so, then why have doctors in other countries who have implemented them said such systems are making it harder to do so? So how, and here it is, by the way, here's the FOIA doc you got, AI for American industry and AI for American worker. Here are the plans. That's what you're talking about. That's the document you got. And it lays it all out. And so let's talk about this surveillance and why does it make it actually harder to contain coronavirus with this kind of mass surveillance like this?
So this mass surveillance specifically is about contact tracing, and this Israeli doctor association said it was giving them not the information they needed to combat the pandemic, but it is information that, serves the national security state in Israel and also in other places that have, national security states that act in similar ways, right? It's about tracking people, but these Israeli doctors said that the way they were gathering this information was not actually helping them fight coronavirus, that they needed something different. But instead of listening to the doctors, Shin Bet said, no, we're just going to keep it the way it is. And it's still in effect, despite what doctors are saying. What does that tell you?
So do you think there's an overarching purpose for them to be instituting this kind of surveillance?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the mass surveillance system in the U.S. has been ever expanding. The U.S. government has been mass surveilling us since 9/11, but they had to do it sort of secretly, right? Because we still have privacy laws, and even though they violate them in public, in order to bring about this fourth industrial revolution, they had to be able to do it more openly and more extensively by partnering more directly with the private sector in these ways. And this is something this document calls for, more explicit public-private partnerships where Silicon Valley companies cannot say no to what the government asked them to do. That is something they explicitly say in this document that needs to change. They say that doesn't exist in China, and they basically say, that there's this controversy between Silicon Valley working in the government that doesn't exist in China.
This sounds more, it sounds crazy, like almost science fiction.
Yeah.
So you think that the Trump administration it will use this crisis to, like, say, for instance, push through? Because I haven't read this document that you've read. the FOIA document you got, but do you think is there anything in, so do you think Trump will use this crisis to try to get rid of in-person shopping and to maybe push driverless vehicles?
Yeah, I mean, actually, that's already happening because of the coronavirus crisis. There have been DMV approvals of driverless cars by two companies in California, and they specifically cited the coronavirus crisis as a means to expedite that. And a lot of these CEOs of these companies say things like, humans are biohazards, machines are not, so this is the future. And they say this is a permanent shift, not a fleeting shift, and that long after coronavirus, driverless cars will be here to stay, as an example. It's also true for in-person shopping. They're saying that people will get used to this. And, you know, there's a line in this document about online shopping. It says, one of the things it promotes, because China largely does this, is relying almost exclusively on online shopping. And in the document, it says this is paraphrasing, but basically it says when shopping online is the only way to get what you want, consumers go online, right? So now, I mean, that's the case. And now they're having all of this stuff being adopted that they talked about then.
Do they say anything?
It's very convenient for them.
Do they say anything in the document about internet access?
Not specifically, no.
Because you would think that they would want to make sure everybody has internet access so they could buy stuff, right? Including poor people, because poor people buy stuff.
Yeah. It doesn't say that, but it does talk about eliminating cash, eliminating credit and debit cards, going to smartphone mobile payments as an example. And we've sort of seen with this crisis too, like people saying we can't use cash because it might carry the virus. And some other things like that. So really, I mean, there's a lot of things this document goes over. It goes over a ton of sectors of the U.S. economy, but pretty much all of the structural obstacles they talk about are being, you know, magically disappearing thanks to coronavirus.
What would you say regular people would be most shocked at to read in this document?
That's a little hard because a lot of things in this shocked me. They basically talked about how one quote they had that I found really disturbing was that, like, in the U.S. and Europe, people are scared of AI, that it might take our jobs and erode our privacy. But China views it as a tool for global leadership and all of this stuff. Right. So basically saying that we need to shift public perception of AI to what they say that how the Chinese government views it. And, you know, honestly, if you actually think about what AI will do, yeah, it's going to mean a lot of job loss. And yeah, it's going to mean a huge erosion of privacy if we implement these mass surveillance systems. But those are things that ostensibly, you know, are important, right? But they're saying, no, we need to do this in order to overcome this technological advantage for China. That's a policy that, you know, benefits Silicon Valley and benefits the military industrial complex and the intelligence community. But there's nothing here about, like, making life easier for regular Americans. This is all about how to help, you know, the bottom line of Silicon Valley and how to maintain, you know, the national security edge in technology over China, right? And I honestly think it's I really encourage everyone to read the document for yourself. Like, don't just take my word for it. Go and look through this stuff. I mean, you will be really surprised by the stuff that they label legacy systems. I mean, FDA approval, they say, is a legacy system, as an example. I mean, it's just really odd that they would, you know, say the stuff behind closed doors and in these presentation that they, you know, had, but, you know, not be as public about this as they, you know. Right. I just think it's really disturbing, honestly.
So, let me ask you this. Do you think that biometric tech could help create some kind of digital tag for people to return back to normal life after this? Like you mentioned in your piece, it could be used to detect coronavirus infections early by analyzing sleep schedules, oxygen levels, activity levels, and heart rate with apps like Fitbit and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's what some Unity researchers at Duke are doing right now. But this is also something talked about in this document, the adoption of biometric identification and the mass use of facial recognition is a huge part of what they talk about in this document from last year, that it needs to be adopted on a huge scale. But again, they say privacy laws, but they say things like streets carpeted and cameras is really good infrastructure. Using civilian databases of their faces is a really great, a killer simpler way to train artificial intelligence. And, you know, they're basically saying that we need to turn over all of our biometric stuff, you know, to train AI, basically. But, you know, that of course has huge implications for privacy and existing U.S. law.
So this is going way beyond the Patriot Act. This is way beyond the warrantless surveillance state that we live in right now. We live in an unconstitutional warrantless surveillance state, and no one gives a shit. It's the weirdest thing in the world. Barack Obama repealed habeas corpus, Section 1021 of the NDAA. Nobody cares. There's no now, and then they hand all those powers off to Trump. Not only that, but they expand Trump's spying powers and they all vote for it. Who do you mean they all? I mean the squad, every progressive in Congress, they all vote for it. That's what I mean, right? Isn't that happened, Whitney?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's just really unfortunate. But also let's, you know, take into consideration too what's happened since then, this coronavirus relief bill, right? This was $4 trillion. Right. That went to Wall Street and to bail out all of these big companies that are going to take huge market shares of American business, smaller and middle sized American businesses. I mean, how is that not like a way to remake the economy by making sure all the bailout money goes to people on the top so that these right. giant corporations can basically do whatever they want and have control over the economy? And if you look at Trump's new task force, which he calls the Great American Economic Revival Industry Groups, it's full of these hedge fund managers like Paul Singer, the world's most notorious vulture capitalist, Sheldon Adelson, Trump's biggest political donor. It has members of this same National Security Commission on Artificial Intelligence on it, like Safra Catz, who's the CEO of Oracle. And I mean, what do you think these people are going to do? Do you think they're going to help out regular Americans or help out their business, which are already massive? I mean, and you know, these Jeff Bezos is on this task force.
Always
talked about Amazon implementing AI and replacing warehouse workers with AI, you know, with robots and all of this stuff. I mean, what do you think he's going to do during this crisis? You think he's going to rehire people? Like I show in my report, these people are calling humans biohazards. We have to move to machines so we don't get sick, right? To me, that seems like they're taking a huge advantage here in this crisis by trying to play off of the fear and panic about what's going on and trying to get us to basically give up the way of, you know, our way of life, basically, and let them implement all this AI stuff so they can beat China in the what they call the technology wars. I mean, that's essentially what they're trying to do, in my opinion.
I know there's an economic war happening with China, right? And China seems to have a better plan than we do because, again, they have a centralized planning committee. We have a bunch of rapacious oligarchs and vulture capitalists who would sell out an American job in a heartbeat. In fact, they get tax breaks to do it. That's how corrupt our system is. And, you know, it's like Jack Ma said in China. You know, everybody's angry at China for the outsourcing of jobs. He says, but this isn't our system. This is the system American capitalists came up with. You're the ones who instituted this to ship all your jobs to China and have us make everything. We didn't do that. You did that. And so this idea of we're going to win. Do you have any insight into the effectiveness of any of this? And will we be able to win an AI war with China? And how important is it for workers?
Well, they think we'll be able to win if we remove what they refer to these structural obstacles, which are these legacy systems that government spends more money on AI and removes existing regulations on privacy laws and other things that will allow us to leapfrog China and stop lagging behind them in the adoption phase. And they basically want us to adopt AI-driven technologies in every sector across the board. But let's keep in mind, too, so the system that you just referenced where, you know, all these American corporations outsource jobs to China. They did that because the labor pool over there, they didn't have to pay as much. But how much do you have to pay a robot? How much do you have to pay artificial intelligence? Right. So, I mean, let's keep that in mind when we're looking at this new task force that has all these, you know, people like Paul Singer and people like Sheldon Adelson and all of these, you know, Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world. I mean, what do you think he's going to do? Care about the little guy and be like, no, you know what? Our bottom line doesn't matter as much as employing the workers we had before the coronavirus crisis. They're going to say, well, you know what? You were in lockdown and we were fine because we implemented robots. And we don't need you.
So this task force, does it have a name? Do you know of?
Yeah, it's called the Great Economic American Economic Revival Industry Groups. And there's a group for each sector of American society.
So,
and they say that the health and wealth of America is the primary goal, and these groups will produce a more independent, self-sufficient, and resilient nation. That's from the White House press release.
So who appointed people to this task force? Do you know?
It was the White House.
So they put Jeff Bezos, Trump's number one nemesis, on a task force for the economy?
Right. So nemesis, I would argue, is more of a public thing. These oligarchs, they're all in the same club. You know, yes. There's the people at the very top, and then there's the people at the bottom. They may have their public disagreements, but at the end of the day, most billionaires in America want to hold onto their power, and they don't want to share it with the rest of American society. And they have known about this for a long time and have thought about, how do we keep people from rising up and demanding like more rights and demanding that a lot of these policies that are harming, you know, the ability of people to hold on to jobs? How do we prevent those people, you know, from, you know, taking away some of our money, right? And the political system, you know, the DNC did everything they could to keep down Bernie and all this stuff. But at some point, people are just going to stop buying into the two-party paradigm, and they're going to say, screw this. You know, we want change. And they've known that's been coming for a long time. And to think they didn't have some sort of plan about how to do that, I don't know. I think it would be naive to assume they don't plan about this stuff, you know, when they meet with each other.
Okay, well, Whitney, is there anything else you want to add that I didn't ask you?
I just do want to point out that, and I said this earlier, but it's worth repeating, after 9/11, Americans gave up a lot of their rights because they were told that certain things had to be given up in order to be safe and more secure. Now we're being told that we have to give up and totally change our way of life in a lot of ways to be safe from, you know, the coronavirus. But, you know, a lot of these changes they're saying now will remain permanent and will never go away. And I think there are a lot of concerns there that people should think really critically about, especially the mass surveillance aspect. It's just very, a lot of these things, these policies that are being pushed out, are very concerning. And let's remember too, that they are calling for, the Department of Justice recently asked for the ability to indefinitely detain, Americans, like in a more overt way, even though, as you mentioned, that was authorized by a past NDAA. William Barr is asking for the right to go out and do that. He says it's for fighting coronavirus. But last year, he tried to do the same under a pre-crime program that he said was going to be used to thwart mass shootings. And now it's about coronavirus, right? So people need to be very wary of what the government's doing right now, I think, because I think in a big way, they're trying to take advantage of this crisis and screw over people, regular Americans. And it really needs to stop, I think.
Wow. I didn't know that about William Barr. Last year tried to, and he used it to stop mass shootings. We have to arrest people for pre-crimes? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It was called the Direction and Early Engagement Program, or DEEP. Almost no one reported on it except for the Huffington Post, which said, yay, Bill Barr is going to stop mass shootings. But basically, it was this huge, it's a really disturbing system about arresting people who they think are mobilizing towards violence based on their social media history and their private data on their smartphone. And this also, at the same time, there was this, healthcare surveillance system that Ivanka Trump was promoting called HARPA, the Safe Home HARPA program, which was about using private medical data, combined with information on smartphones to try and find someone who might have mental health issues and you know, have the feds come talk to them or whatever. And now we're seeing her husband, Jared Kushner, promote the coronavirus, you know, surveillance system that will use private medical data and smartphone data. So it's essentially the same system, but has a different justification tacked onto it about why we need it, right? I just think it's unfortunate that they're trying to play off of this crisis and to implement, you know, these types of policies that they want for what appears to be ulterior motives.
Okay. All right. Well, as Jesse Ventura says, Whitney, stay vigilant. Right.
Thanks. You too.
Everybody check out Whitney's latest article, Techno-Tyranny, How the U.S. National Security State is Using Coronavirus to Fulfill an Orwellian Vision. And that's over at The Last American Vagabond. What's the URL? What's the website on that?
I've been posting it.
Oh, you have?
Uh-huh.
What is it?
It's thelastamericanvagabond.com.
There you go. Lastamericanvagabond.com. Thank you, Whitney Webb. I appreciate the information. And, you know, please keep us up to date. Great work on getting that Freedom of Information request to
you.
Thank you. Okay, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hey, this is the part where I tell you where our live shows are, but there aren't any. And then I would tell you to go join our premium, but nobody has a fucking job. So why don't you just enjoy the video?